I desire your prayers this afternoon. I have a thought. I'd like the Lord to bless it. This morning, we talked about King Solomon and the understanding that the Lord gave to him. King Solomon went to the high place in Gibeon, and he gave the Lord everything that he could. Yes. He reached out to the Lord as far as he could reach. There are scriptures that say that ye shall search for me and shall find me when ye shall seek me with all your heart. And that's what Solomon did, and he found the Lord. The Lord responded to him. God has always wanted to share. I think about what God created us for. I mentioned this morning that we have choices. God designed it that way. It's really the only thing that we've got that's all of our own. There are different opinions, different doctrines in the world. Some of them try to remove that aspect of us and the relationship with God. There are complicated questions about, does God foreknow this and that? Does God know that I'm going to sin? Does God know whether I'm going to go to hell or not? Some of those things I don't completely understand. Some of those things I'm not sure anyone understands. I think some of them, the way that God is too deep for people to completely understand. But I do know this, that our choice is there. That we have our choice, and it is our own choice. And when we make a choice to follow the Lord, He reciprocates His love. He gives to us. And He has always, from the beginning of time, God has desired to share His heart, His very heart, with mankind. Did you know the Lord gets grieved? Did you know the Lord has anger? Yes. Did you know that the Lord has compassion?
Yes, indeed.
And the Lord has love. The Lord has desires. And He doesn't keep those all bottled up. The Lord wants to communicate those things to the beings that He created. We are so much different than the animals. God created animals and He created people. And He created people in such a way where we are the only things in His creation that do not necessarily obey the laws that He has set up. The Scripture talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. The stars are in their orbits and the planets just like He designed. The only things that do not necessarily follow exactly the way the Lord created is a choice. It's humans. And it's because that God wanted someone that He could commune with. And someone that He could love and that would love Him back. Solomon, Abraham, Jacob, all of those people, there are instances that the Lord revealed His heart to them in such a way where they could understand exactly how the Lord felt. You remember the story about Abraham and Isaac? When the Lord said, I want you to go and offer Isaac, the Lord Himself offered His only begotten son many years in the future. You remember the story of Jacob? Let's look at Jacob a little bit. Genesis. I'm going to skip through this some because there's a lot of reading to do. But Jacob's name was supplanter or deceiver. The Lord wanted communion with him too. The Lord wanted to show him some things, but there was a point in Jacob's life that he did not make the kind of choices that you would have to make for God to show those kind of things with you. But one night, Jacob, when he was fleeing from his own brother, because of the trouble that he had caused with his mother, the deceiving and the planning that they had done, Jacob was on his way to see his uncle, fleeing from his brother, and he had a dream. And in that dream, the Lord showed him a ladder going up to heaven and said, basically, I'm the Lord, but I want contact with you. I want to be everything to you. I want to provide. He saw angels going up and down the ladder from him to God. And you know the Lord wants to do that with every one of us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to share his heart with us. And at that time, all Jacob said was, after the Lord had promised, I will be with you. I will make of you a nation. All Jacob could say was, if the Lord will keep me safe, if the Lord will do this, we'll see. We'll see what the Lord's going to do. He went on his merry way, and he lived his life with his uncle Laban. Didn't have a real good life there. But there came a time, and Jacob said, if the Lord will do these things, then I'll serve him. The Lord wanted a much bigger, much greater relationship with Jacob than that. And the Lord wants a greater relationship than that with you and I today. There came a time when Jacob's life was not going so well. It said that he beheld Laban's countenance, and it was not the same toward him as before. The Lord had shown mercy on him and blessed him. The Lord was still reaching out to talk to Jacob. And the Lord appeared to him and said, return to the land, to your kindred, to the land of thy fathers, and I'll be with thee. And Jacob decided, I'm going to go back. On the way back, it said that he came to a place and the angels of God met him. And I don't know what happened at that transaction, but the result of it was that Jacob sent word to his brother and said, I want peace with you now. I've changed. I don't want to be the kind of person I used to be. And then Jacob met an angel. Well, it wasn't just an angel. Jacob wrestled with a man, it said, all night long. Jacob, let's turn to that. Genesis 32 and verse 26. Let's back up a little bit. I want to read the prayer that Jacob prayed in verse 9. They said, Esau's coming to meet you with 400 men. Jacob prayed a prayer that was a lot different than what he said back when he saw his vision of the ladder. He said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which says to me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Jacob, by this point, was a very wealthy man. He had a high position in life. And yet, at this time, he understood that there was something a lot greater than he was, and he needed that help from the Lord. And so in that moment of time, in the space of time that it took him to go from Laban's to his kindred and his father's house, he changed his heart. And the Lord met him and wrestled with him all night long. In the 26th verse, he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless thee. And then he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob, the planter,
yes.
the deceiver.
Yes.
That's who I am. And the Lord said, this is the blessing that I'm going to give you. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, which means prince. For as a prince that hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. The Lord wanted some things to say to Jacob. But there was a time in Jacob's life he couldn't talk to him like he wanted to. Did you know the Lord wants to say some things to you and I?
Yes.
Do you know the Lord wants to share some feelings with you and I? Jacob went home. And you know the Lord gave him a similar experience. Hebrews 11 talks about all these experiences that the patriarchs had. It says that these all died in faith. They didn't receive the promise, but they saw him afar off. The Lord communicated to these people His great plan, His desires, the things He wanted to do with mankind, His feelings, the promise that He had for these people and for their seed forever. The Lord communicated that to those people. So Jacob went home and he had a son, his beloved son, that got taken away from him. And you know, he didn't hear another word about that until he was 130 years old. When he came to Egypt, it was then that he found out what happened to Joseph, his beloved son, for which he had made a coat of many colors. I don't agree with having favorites when you have your children. But there's a lot bigger lesson to learn here than to stop there with that story. When Joseph's brothers asked him forgiveness, after Jacob was gone, they were afraid that Joseph would try to revenge himself upon them. And he said, "Fear not, because the Lord meant this for good. You thought to do evil, but the Lord meant it for good that I should save much people alive." Joseph got cast into prison, got thrown, basically destroyed by his brothers.
Yes.
But the very thing that they meant to do to him was the means of him saving the entire world from starvation.
Yes.
And Jacob got to see that. Don't you know that stories like that earned those patriarchs a place in the chapter of Hebrews 11? Because I believe that God revealed His heart to those people and said, "That's what I'm going to do with my son too."
Yes.
Solomon. The story that we read a while ago of the two women that came to him, the understanding that he had. You know, the Lord wants to give us understanding about things where we understand why the Lord does some of the things He does. The Lord came to Solomon, and I believe, I'm taking a little bit of liberty here, but I believe that this is true, that the Lord, in those instances, revealed things of the future to those patriarchs, to those kings, and those people that followed Him of what was coming. It said they looked for Him afar off. Think of some of the Psalms that were written. We read one this morning, Psalms 45, "My heart is inditing a good matter." It says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." What do you think the people felt? The writers of those things, that possibly they didn't have all the knowledge of how that applied like you and I do today, but the Lord spoke to them and gave them a promise of things to come that made the living worthwhile, that made things worth it to them to live for God, for them to understand what God wanted to tell them. What do you think David felt after getting the inspiration to write verses like that? Psalms 110, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. The Lord, Jehovah said unto my Adonai," or "the Messiah, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." What do you think those people thought? What kind of experiences? Is it any wonder that David wrote psalms like, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord"? The Psalms 119, that it goes on. And the Lord, we can see by those things that the Lord showed His people time and again His plan for mankind. God wants us to know what kind of God He really is.
Yes, He does.
And then Jesus came. Hebrews 11 says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Maybe I didn't quote that correctly, but then it says, and these all, having a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. What do you think? If the Lord wanted to speak those things and convey those feelings to His people back then, do you think it stopped? What about us? I want us to know this afternoon that the Lord wants us to know Him. He already knows who we are. He wants to tell us things. You remember the story of Samuel? Samuel was laying there one night. And I believe that Samuel wanted to do what was right, but one day the Lord said, Samuel. That's all He said. Called his name. Samuel thought Eli called him. He said, here am I, you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Samuel laid down again and the Lord said, Samuel. He didn't start telling him everything He wanted to tell him. He wanted Samuel to respond. And after the third time, Eli got an inkling of what was going on and he said, go back. If the Lord speaks to you again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And at that point, Samuel had a knowledge that he did not have before. And he didn't understand what all the Lord wanted to say, but does it really matter? If the Lord wants to tell us something, wouldn't we want to hear it? If we knew that the Lord had something that He specifically wanted to say to us that was for our ears, that was specific to our life, would we not want to hear what it was? And so Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And at that point, the Lord started to talk to him and told him what He was planning to do. Did you know the Lord wants to tell you and I things? And sometimes all He's wanting for us to do is to get quiet. Sometimes I think that we go on and say, you know what, if the Lord would show me this, I'd listen. But the Lord is looking for something first before we get to that point. He wants us to speak when He whispers. He wants us to slow down. I think that we're too busy. By and large. We have so many things going on. Well, let me rephrase that. We can be too busy.
Yes.
But the Lord wants us to be quiet. To get quiet and respond. And Samuel responded. And Samuel had a very remarkable life serving the Lord. The Lord had things to tell him. The Lord had things to show him. Let me tell you about someone that didn't do that. 1 Kings 20. I marvel at this story every time I read it. So the Syrians came, pitched against Israel. Ahab was a king that had done very wickedly. But you know the Lord wanted to speak to him too.
Yes, He did.
The Lord tried many times to get his attention. And He partially did one or two times. There was one time after he had taken a vineyard from Naboth and killed that innocent man that the Lord delivered a message by the prophet Elijah. And it said that Ahab walked softly. But you've got to do more than that to hear from the Lord. Ahab walked softly because he didn't want to happen to him what was prophesied. But if he would have just turned his heart from his idols, from his wife's gods, and sought the Lord, he would have had a lot better life.
Yes, he would.
13th verse of 1 Kings 20. Behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thy hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. And he said, who shall order the battle? And he answered, thou. So Ahab went, dropped down to the 21st verse, and the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go, strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. Then watch what you do. I'm giving you a heads up here. Something's going to happen to you next year. This is going to happen again, and you need to be ready for it. The Lord has delivered the Syrians into your hand, but they're going to come again. And so you need to see, you need to mark and see what you do. You need to be in a place where the Lord can help you again. But he didn't do that. He went back to his old practices. 26th verse, it says, it came to pass that at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. In the 28th verse it says, there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And just as a side note, I'd just like to say that if the Lord does anything for me in my life, I would not rather wait. I would rather not wait until the Lord does it for someone else's sake than for mine.
Yes.
29th verse. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the 7th day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. And but the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there fell a wall upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. And his servants said unto him, behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure he will save thy life. So it goes on, and they came to the king of Israel, or they came to the king of Israel and said, Ben-Hadad is asking you to let him live. And the king said, is he still alive? He's my brother. And so they made a league. They said, we'll make streets for you in Damascus, and you make streets for me in Jerusalem and in Samaria. And Ahab said, I will send you away with this covenant. And the 34th verse it said, so he made a covenant with him and sent him away. And a prophet came to visit him after that. And the prophet said, as the king passed by, he cried unto the king in the 39th verse. And he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Got careless. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, listen to this. Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. But how was Ahab to know that the Lord wanted, that the Lord had appointed this man to utter destruction? That was the reason why that the prophet came to Ahab the preceding year and said, you need to mark what you're doing, because this is going to happen again. You're going to come up against Syria. The Lord had things he wanted to tell Ahab, but he couldn't do it because Ahab was not in the place. But did you know that you and I are responsible for what the Lord could have told us had we chose to be in the place that the Lord provided for us to get into? Ahab missed something because he did not put himself in the place where he could receive those kind of words from the Lord. And he paid for it. 3 years later, Ahab was killed by the Syrians. Revelations 3:20. Maybe I'll just read it here. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." I don't know of a verse that has more entreating language in it in the whole Bible. Those were, "I want to come and I want to tell you things. I want you to tell me things." To sup with someone means to come and to visit with them. To discuss things. To be on a level with them where you're comfortable telling personal things between the two of you. It's more than just meeting in Walmart and exchanging the proper formalities. The Lord said, "I want to come in." And He stands at our heart's door. And He knocks. And He knocks. And He knocks. We're the only ones that can open that door. The Lord wants to talk to us. Now, I want to read a scripture in John 14 and verse 16. All those people in the Old Testament that the Lord showed Himself to, what kind of ways does the Lord show Himself to us? How can we know who He is? How can we know the Lord in a greater sense than those people even did? Or at least as great? How can we do that? Is it simply that we can read the Bible and understand the prophecies? Is it that we can just get a high level of understanding about... Is it by singing songs about just the mercy of God? All those things are important. But this says, "I will pray the Father. He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." The 20th verse says, "At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." The Lord came to set this up. This is different. There's a world of difference between us and David. David had great experiences, but the Lord has brought something by the atonement of the Son of God. We have access that we did not have before. We have reconciliation. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." What does that mean? Do we sing? I love Christmas time. And I love it because we get together with our family and the good feelings that you have and the good meals that you eat. But I'll tell you something else I love. I love the songs that tells about what Jesus came to bring. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. What did Jesus come to bring? What did He come to bring to you and to I? What does it mean? Does it mean that we just go to church and we obey all the rules that our group, that a bunch of ministers decided? Is that all it means to us?
No, never that.
In Romans, the 12th chapter, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." Remember what Solomon did? He gave the Lord everything that he could. And at that point, the Lord visited him and gave him something that he carried with him the rest of his life. The Lord did not speak to the prophets and to the kings and the patriarchs every day. But the things that he gave them were enough to keep them through their whole life. It was something that they could point back to, experiences that they couldn't manufacture. And in Romans 12 it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What do you think those patriarchs were looking for? It says when they looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, when it says that they received not the promise, they received something, but they looked forward to something, and I'd like to explain what that is. There's a song in our songbook that says, even his very mind he gives me, and his faith and life and love. If the Lord wants to communicate with us and help us to understand on an intimate level who he is and what he is, what better way to do that than to help us to live with the attributes that he is himself? In the Old Testament, it says that the law was a shadow of good things to come. And we see that the Lord put signs of that in the heavens to tell a story. He put the moon where it shines a dim light. How good can you see outside when it's fully moonlit? When it's a full moon. You can see. You can walk from one place to another. But I wouldn't want to go outside and try to build a cabinet out there in those conditions. But when the light shone, it came. What is light? What happens when you shine a light through a prism? It splits into all the different colors of the rainbow. That's how the Lord wants you and me to be. When the Lord shines His light, He wants us to reflect that light. I know we sing "This Little Light of Mine," and a lot of times we think about maybe shining a flashlight around into the darkest corners. But that's really not what. That's really. I believe that there's more to understand about it than that. The Lord wants us in our own lives to receive His light and be transformed so that we can be direct channels of His light, of all the aspects of it, His love, His mercy, His truth, His righteousness, so that people can see. He said, ye are the light of the world. Did you realize? You realize He could have set it up any way He wanted to, but this is the way He chose to set it up, where we are the channels of His light. And by doing that, how could you understand who the Lord really is if you didn't even know really what it was or didn't have the power? By doing that, it's a way to fellowship with the Lord Himself, where we have those attributes, not of our own power, but when the Lord does that for us, and we can say, I know this person did this to me, but I forgive them. It doesn't matter what they did. I love them. I want them to go to heaven. I'm not going to hold that anymore. And we know inside that we could have never done it by ourselves. That's part of knowing the Lord.
Yes, it is. Thank the Lord.
When the Lord gives us His mind, and we can do that. I know a lot of times we look around, and sometimes we get a little discouraged, and we say, where are all the miracles? Why don't we have miracles like we read about in the old... I read about this and that, and I just don't see it like it used to. It seems like it's kind of dying. The greatest miracle that there ever was and is the work that He does in our heart. And when He does that work in our heart, we have an opportunity. Sometimes I think we're looking for the outward stuff. We're looking for the big, we're looking for the miracles, we're looking for the dreams, we're looking for the visions, we're looking, and the Lord wants to communicate those things to us, but I fear that sometimes that we don't take care of the work, that we don't pursue the work, the change in our heart, the things, the attributes that the Lord wants to shine through us. Did you know that having those attributes is a way to understand and know the Lord? It's one of the ways. And the Lord wants to come and talk to us. We have to get quiet and listen. I believe the Lord has something more for each one of us. And when we get quiet and when we say, Lord, what do you have to say? Instead of saying, you know what? If the Lord wants to tell me bad enough, He's going to show me. Sometimes the Lord is only waiting for us to stop and do what Mary and Ananias did. And Abraham, the ones who said, here I am. That's all we need to say. And we need to mean it. Because when we stop and we say, Lord, I'm ready for whatever you have to tell me, without any kind of prejudice or preference of what I want to hear, I want to hear what you have to say. Let's let the Lord speak to us today. The Lord wants to show us things, deep things. May the Lord help us all today. You pray for me.